This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. We are going to talk today primarily about planning and goal setting and how the two kind of work together. Now, obviously, with everything that played out in 2020, it's hard to set rigid plans. It's hard to expect that things will play out a certain way when they went so opposite to how we expected in 2020. So, with everything we talk about today, yes, I guess it applies and it's still a thing, but let's just hold loose expectations as to these plans playing out. Because if we get too attached to the plans and they don't play out, you can almost set yourself up for a bigger fall than if you just kind of set in loose plans and rough ideas and just held them with kind of subtle expectations.
You can go too far the other way, though, I think. Some people are like, it was so crazy last year. Like, who knows what this will bring? Let's just see what happens.
You need some planning.
Also not the right strategy. You need a plan. Just understand that, might need to change, but good companies still have plans for the year.
Absolutely. So, it's not wrong to have a plan A, B, and C. But I think today we'll do a good job trying to lay it all out for you guys based off your goals. So, obviously, a lot of the planning stuff, almost primarily, I'd say 90% of the planning and goal setting frameworks that we've learned and used in the past have been from our coaches at MPE. And like I was saying last week, if you guys are in this, if you're in a position now where you feel like you don't need mentoring, you don't need coaching and for your business, and you think you can go at it by yourself, it's like trying to make the Olympics without a coach and without a team. It's honestly can't be done. And I think that people tell themselves these stories about famous business leaders or successful businesses that did it all without a mentor and a coach. And all I would say to that is you just don't know the story unless you know the person. And I'd say almost in every single case, in one way or another, whether it was paid, unpaid, official, unofficial.
It might have been like their dad.
Yeah. There was always a mentoring process. Always a mentoring process. That is how people learn best. That is how you can avoid making mistakes. That's how you know whether to go left or right with different decisions in your day-to-day and long-term. So highly encourage anyone who is sitting on the fence right now, themindmuscleproject.com/NPE. Okay, just those three letters, NPE. And you'll be directed to our website page where you can just kind of learn everything you need to about MPE and what they do and the deals they have going on and the downloads you can use. So themindmuscleproject.com/NPE to get in the loop with our business coaches. We highly recommend them. Still currently use them to this day. And then, of course, part of what we're doing at Locker Room, part of what we do at Creature Fitness is delivering individualized programming. We do that through a software called True Coach. You guys have heard us talk about it before. If you're still sitting on the fence with this technology, I highly doubt you have something better. I know it's got compared to a few other different apps and training technologies. This, we've had no reason to complain about this. It's been incredible. In the last 2 to 3 years, it's been one of the best pieces of software we've ever used.
And definitely the area it wins is writing individual programs. I think if you're doing that, I don't think anyone's even suggested something's really better or more time efficient.
Absolutely. I mean, if you spend an hour to 2 hours writing an individual program per week, I would say at a bare minimum, you would cut that down to somewhere around 30-40% of that total time.
With the same quality.
Same quality. Just the tools that it has. Yeah. The shortcuts, the keys, the copy and paste functions.
It's like typing or writing. You still get the same outcome, but typing's faster.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys want to definitely get on this. themindmuscleproject.com/truecoach, one word. So again, themindmuscleproject.com/truecoach. And now with all our sponsors, guys, it's our website dash the sponsor's name. No hyphens, no spaces, no full stops, nothing. Okay. Let's get into it. So, should we start with goal setting? Best way to do it? Set the goal, work back a plan from there.
Yeah, and I think this is a good one because at least it forces you to confront it, and set something good rather than it's like, just try and do better than last year, right? And set something like realistic. It can be good as well because if you have business partners and teams, it like gets everyone on the same page. Maybe one dude's like, we're going to make like millions of dollars this year. The other person's like, just slightly better than last year would be good, right? So, at least even from that point, if you're getting out there, there might be some argument or discussion, but it's a really good practice just to like get everyone on the same page of at least where you're trying to head.
Yeah, I think what's so good about goal setting and then planning as well is if I take the example of Locker Room and I take the example of Creature and us going into this new year, they both exist a lot in our heads and in our minds, and they're not So locker room exists a lot in my head and your head, and not of a lot exists on paper. Mm. And nothing's tangible yet because it wasn't really real, obviously, until the construction started. But Creature, because it's been a real thing for 7 years, it's much easier for people to wrap their head around the goals. Mm. Almost without having to set the goals in some way. They're like, yeah, cool. We know the system. We know what our goals have been. We know where we want to get.
They could probably guess it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they kind of know the plan. They know the system. But it's for things that change, for things that are new, for things that don't exist in reality yet. I feel like the goal setting process, you have to make it very clear to those people. So, you know, with Creature, there's so many different goals that you could... Someone might work as a coach, a full-time coach, and they might have 7 different goals they're working towards, and they know they're working towards the long-term goal of the gym. Mm. They might be like, you know, I want to get this many clients, I want to retain this person, I want to get this many referrals. Like, they've got all these mini goals within it, but for locker room, someone's like, I don't really know what's happening here. What are we doing? And if I'm just like, cool, the focus is 100 members, you know? Mm. The focus is using, I want to put a Whoop band on every single client when they come in. I want to track all their data, I want to do this, do that. You've got to make it super clear for things that don't exist. So I think clarity of goals is really important, especially for businesses and things that are new, changing, and don't exist yet.
Yeah, and then obviously I think you come to just probably different personalities. I'm not saying which one's right, which one's wrong, but there's like slow and sustainable growth, and then there's like really fast action growth. And you know, you got to come to different points. I'd say with locker room, we are going for like something just a bit more hard at the gate and quicker progress, because that's just what is demanded of us, right? And it's new, as I guess more possible, and that's the approach we're taking. But then at Creature, we're going for more long, slow, sustainable growth. Because, you know, I think more mature, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you'll find is that for gyms, definitely, I really believe that, like, the long-term sustainable growth is definitely where it's at. Because it's just different to, I don't know, maybe if you bring out, like, an app and it's just more people jump on it, the better it gets, right? Yeah. Maybe, like, Fitify is, like, one of our sponsors, right? They want lots of people on the app because the app gets so much better.
Yeah.
Gym is kind of the reverse. If you're, like, a boutique gym in there...
Service.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get a service industry, when you get more people into it, it's almost guaranteed for the service to get worse for the existing members until you deal with the scale and you put on the more classes or the coaches or whatever it is, right? Mm. You improve your relationships, or you just find a way to deal with more people. So because of that, you'll find that, like, it's why challenges and shit have kind of come and gone, because gyms just don't do very well with big influxes of people. But yeah, slow, sustainable growth, you know, we always look at it and I'm like, cool, if we do, you know, if we grow by 5% a month in the year, we'll basically double the gym at the end of the year. Very rarely do you double your gym in the year, right? Yeah. Most people don't. 5% is not much.
Mm.
Man, you have 80 members, it's like an extra 3 or 4 members at the end of each month. But it's just doing that every single month of the year. And I do think the way, if it's not a brand new gym, that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we chose more aggressive growth for a few different factors at Locker Room. So one, I think obviously the costs are higher. So the pressure is there earlier on to grow it faster. And then two, I think that the locker room model is a culmination of a year's worth of, I guess, some of it a year longer than we expected, but, or maybe 6 months longer than we expected, but a year of planning, rehashing, revisiting, taking ideas that we've, and theories that we've put into practice over the last 7 years and going, okay, we think this is really going to work. Mm-hmm. And a system and a model that when you try and break something in theory, so if you say, okay, here's the model, here's what we do, let's put 100 people into it, does it still stand up, does it still hold, is it still, does it still operate? If you've never done it before, you don't know the answer. But because we had done so many different versions of that, we could almost say with pretty good certainty, we'd be like, these are going to be the costs. This is going to be, this group, this number of people is going to work. The programming load is going to be this amount. We're going to need to hire this many people and put on this many sessions at this time. And those are only insights. Those are only truisms that we know because we've done it. And I think that's the difference, is we back ourselves to do it. Whereas I think slow, sustainable goals are much better if you just have less experience, because it's something that you can handle that's relative to your skill level. I don't think you want to start a gym and get explosive growth. The whole thing will just fall over because you're learning it all.
The only gyms that really I've seen that hold up to it well, I would call anything more than like 8% of growth a month is like really fast growth.
8%.
And that sounds like not much, but man, like, your gym will explode if you get 8% growth a month, right?
Yeah.
In very, very quickly. But it's only going from 100 to 100. I think anything more than that, for most gym owners, things will break really fast.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll have more problems than you need. The gyms that are exceptions you might look to are very often franchises.
Mm.
And franchises are basically an exception because they're so... It's because the business has already been done so many times. Like, they know what exactly what it takes to deal with the higher revenues and the higher member count. So it's like not really the first time they've been there.
Mm.
So the playbook is there. So if they get really fast growth, they know exactly how many staff they're going to need. The programming's all right. The equipment is right. Everything is good. Whereas I think if you're running your own gym, things will break much worse than if you're when you're getting up to member counts you've never been to before really quickly.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, with Locker Room, we're going to get to a total number of clients that we've had before.
Mm.
We've had way more than that many clients before. So if anything, it's going to be easier in terms of actual client load.
Mm.
Obviously, the service offering is a little bit different. The operational model is slightly different, but it's nothing that's going to surprise us really. I mean, there'll be some things where we go, oh, we didn't think that. We'll change it. But we're not going to get sideswiped.
Mm.
You know, it's just totally different set of rules. And then I think, yeah, just a different expectations that we have for it. So yeah, when we pick this growth rate, we're like, hey, this is aggressive from a sales standpoint. Like there's a lot of sales that need to be made here. But from an operational standpoint, you know, it's going to be tough, but it's going to be realistic. It's going to be manageable for us.
And once you get that in place, the best thing you can do then is you can start working backwards, right? Planning becomes way easier once you've got that goal in place, right? Because it's really easy. You start working backwards. You're like, okay, you got to also do your planning. How are you going to get the clients? How are you going to keep them? That type of stuff. But then at least you can start working towards really concrete numbers.
Mm.
So like, cool, this is how many sales I'm going to need to make every single month. This is how many clients I can afford to lose every single month. You know, based on last year, this is like roughly how many leads I'm going to need to generate every single month. And then you can start working out the activities. But everything really flows back from that initial number that you set.
Mm.
You know, I think very often people, this is where it starts to break down. You might say, okay, cool, I want to like get this client number. I need to add like 10 clients a month. It's like, okay, last year, like I had like 20 people inquire and I got 3 people. All right, so to get 10, I need like 60 inquiries a month. And it's like, fuck, am I even going to have time to call and meet that many people? Probably not.
Mm.
And then you start realizing it's like not really, it's not going to happen
because
the system is like not set up to deal with this.
Yeah. Yeah. And before we dive into the plan, the specifics of planning and how we can help people plan better, I think a really good thing, and this is something that only experience has taught us, is that to set a really appropriate goal, I almost think the best place to start is with profit, because that's why Mike Michalowicz's book, the author who we've had on the show, you know, it's called Profit First, is because you can pick revenue targets, you can pick member goals, you can pick retention, you can pick all these different things. But I still think that profit, how much money you take home at the end of the day, I think is still the most important number. I don't know, maybe you disagree.
Yeah, it'd be good. I also think probably it depends on the size. I think if you're a small gym, you might just use your own pay. It's like, how much money am I going to get to pay myself?
Money
like,
in your pocket is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Odin's pay, net profit,
can be both a good way to do it. And that'll take a bit more planning because you have to really work back from all the other numbers from there. But exactly. Whatever's most meaningful to you maybe in where you're trying to take the business, right?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, the business in many ways is there to support whatever lifestyle you want and what life you want to live, right? So I think ultimately that number, I mean, there's time. That's important. I mean, you can set a time goal as well. Like, hey, you know, I want to work a 20-hour week max, you know, and work back from there. And then maybe profit's the next most important thing after that.
Well, I've seen other people, you know, we've been in positions before where we're like, well, we just really want to hire someone more so we can do maybe like get more help with the coaching. So then you might put really aggressive goals on just boosting up your revenue and your clients. So you can just afford to bring somebody on to help with the coaching, right? Because that's just been like one of your big targets for a long time.
Yeah.
So you have to, I guess, really think about maybe what you're after. Or maybe you're like, oh man, I was really hoping to sell my gym this year. Then you want to really think about, man, what's the most important thing this person's going to look at when they come to buy it?
Mm.
Maybe it's the profit or the revenue or something like that. And then you really got to go after that.
Yeah.
So you do have to have a good think about, you know, really what you want exactly out of it. Because maybe if you just want really good lifestyle, really good profit, you'll work out. You're like, man, if I add a lot of clients, then it's not going to make that situation much better. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think having a good idea on, and then break it down further and have a good idea on what that number is for your lifestyle. How much money you want to put in your pocket at the end of that? Because if you're like, hey, you know, I want to pocket 100 grand at the end of the year in my personal income. That's going to, whatever, pay my mortgage or pay my rent, you know, allow me to, you know, put food on the table for my family and, you know, go on a holiday, whatever those things are that are important to you, which I think, again, you need to figure out what those things are that are important to you. You know, some people are like, yeah, I want to drive a Mercedes because, you know, that's what the rappers drive and people will like me when I have a Mercedes. It's like, well, it's actually not a thing. So there's a whole unpacking to do there, but let's establish you know what you want. Then you need the number that supports what you want. The next stage after that, I think, is, like Raph said, think about how you can build that lifestyle and that model around that number. Because you might find under your current business model, you can never pay yourself $100,000. Mm. I think a lot of owners come to that realization way later, 3 or 4 years in. They go, man, I've been waiting for this payday and it's not coming. It's like, we haven't built a model that allows that. And that's what you and I said about locker room this year, is we looked at it and we said, okay, yes, we've got these 12-month goals, but these 12-month goals are only worth getting after if it's going towards, what are we working towards long term? What is the 5-year? Is it going to pay itself back in 5 years? And we had to build a model that when we both looked 5 years into the future and we were hitting our numbers, that it was going to be worth it. And I think that what is quote unquote worth it for us is very different now to when we started Creature. You know, if you said what's worth it for you, we would have been like 3 CrossFit Games gold medals, you know? Now you ask us that question, you're a father, you know, totally different stage of our life. That answer is completely different. And so that's why you had to plan ahead. Mm. You know, we had to cash flow forecast, do numbers, do the model ahead, because, yeah, I don't want to work for the next 5 years for something that we get to 5 years and we're like, oh, this is it. That wasn't worth it.
Mm. Yeah, and even goes down, particularly because gyms are so, you know, you're so space constricted.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just have unlimited clients.
Yeah.
Right? It's a gym. So very often you might look at, man, is it even going to happen in the facility I've got? Which, you know, it doesn't mean you have to get a new facility. It might need to be like, might mean you need to change the rates or something in the gym, so you can have so you can get to where you want to be with fewer clients, or change the type of, you know, class schedules, or just like heaps of different things about the model to make it literally work. You know, that's happened. I think that's really common in gyms. You realize, man, people only want to come to these peak hours. I can only fit a very few amount of people in. That's why I keep running into a brick wall with my goals. Mm. As soon as I get to that client number, the classes are too busy, and then I get the drop off. Mm. Right, and that is like, so many gyms are just on that merry-go-round.
Mm.
Getting up there, dropping back down, getting up there. I'm like, you're never going to break through and smash it, because you just get too busy at that point, right? You need to change the model or change the space or change something so that you're not, when you're only 60% towards your goals, like hitting capacity issues.
Yeah, growth is a blessing and a curse if you don't know how
to handle it. It's
hard. Yeah, it's definitely hard. Okay, so let's get into the more specifics of planning. Now we have a rough idea. We've worked back. We know what our goals are. Some of the things I think that are important when it comes to considering planning is, I think that having a more simple plan, especially to get your team around it, the better it is. So I usually, I like, obviously between you and me, there are obviously more detailed plans. But in terms of the plans that, you know, the ideas that people can hold in their mind, we can only hold very few ideas in our mind. And so if I come to them, I go, okay, guys, here's a 24-step plan for 2021. They're going to forget the whole thing. They're not going to remember anything. So it's like, okay, from this 24-step plan, what are like the top 1 to 3 things I want everyone to prioritize and focus on from this plan? And yes, you've stripped back a lot of detail, and yes, you've oversimplified, but I feel like it's the best way to get people to work on the 80-20, the 20% of things that are going to get you 80% of the results. And so those priorities are different for everyone. It could be community, right? It could be growing revenue numbers. It could be saving costs. It could be getting new equipment. It could be expanding into a second location. Whatever the plan or the priority is, I think really having it simplified and very clear is really the most important thing.
Yeah, and then particularly with the team, because you can
with
flow
the team.
Exactly, because you can flow into it, and then it helps with your decision making. Right? Okay, cool. Is this going to help?
Yeah,
you know, with that initiative, like a big one is, say, like maybe gyms are getting around the time where they're going to run like the CrossFit Open or not, and that's a really good one. It's a good test, because there's some gyms that's going to be great for, and there's going to be some gyms that it's like so bad for, and you might end up doing it because you just didn't spend the time to plan out, like, is that a good way to spend my however long it is now, 3 or 4 weeks of the year, is running a competition like that. For some, if it's like, hey, my goal is like build like a really strong community CrossFit vibe, it's like, that's going to be number one priority. I'm going to start like pumping it right now, get people signed up for it. If it's like, hey, I really want to like shift the focus in my gym, or I'm looking to, you know, just expand the session sizes, or like, you know, rejig it towards more of like a busy professional type of vibe, it's going to be a really bad idea, and it could derail your entire year.
Yeah. And it's helpful to have these priorities set in the beginning before the chaos of the year starts, so that you can get clear and so that it helps with your day-to-day decisions. Mm. It's a big thing. Now, another thing about planning, I think, is essential, is having a good tool to clearly manipulate, change, and I guess envision the plans that you have. Now, we use a software that we've spoken about before called Notion. It's a very flexible software. It's very easy to use. It's very straightforward. It makes a lot of sense. It integrates a lot of stuff that you're familiar with, like Excel sheets and calendars and timetables and timelines. But what I think is so good about it is that it allows you to draw up some pretty detailed plans in a way that doesn't feel restricted or rigid, almost like if you're holding a pen and paper. And I think this is important because you do need to have a, I mean, Slack is a great communication tool for sure. And I know a lot of businesses listening to this have probably started using something like that. But it's not complete enough to have plans in it. You can't have a channel. You might have a channel. I don't think it's complete enough to just list your plans in for everyone to see for the year. It's important, I think, to have something that's like, most people would be using Word docs or Excel sheets or something, where you can properly plan out, here are all the different goals, here's what they mean, here's who's in charge of them, here's the hours I think we should put to them, here's at this point what, you know, how many staff we need to hire and if we need to move a location or pivot, you know, left or right. So having a, I think, a really good, well-organized, for us, the preference is online. You might want something, you know, on pen and paper.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have a good gym and everyone comes to the same place every day, maybe you've got an office, it's pretty awesome in person as well. Like, you have a physical thing on a board, stick it up somewhere, everyone sees it every day.
Yeah.
Just depends on your situation.
Yeah. But having a spot that everyone goes to that we know is good, it's definitely important. I mean, you don't go to these massive organizations, their conferences, their staff conferences for the year, and they don't get up there with like a pen and paper and just write out their plans. No, they present you like a slideshow or a PDF document or something like that. You need to have something like that to show your plans for 2021, to get your team excited, to get you excited, something to keep turning and coming back to that it's like, here's what we're working towards.
You know what's great as well when you get these plans in place is like you don't fall for as much bullshit. So I think gyms that don't have a plan in place are the ones that like see an ad and it's like, get 1,000 clients a day for the first 20 days or your money back. And, you know, people that click on that, if you had a plan, you'd be like, oh, it's not in my plan.
Yeah.
I don't need that many people in 20 days. I'm looking for this, like, this 12-month plan. I need to work on this. I know there's a bunch of things I want to work on. I know I maybe need some help, but I don't need, like, 1,000 clients in 20 days. Like, this is not in my plan. Mm. So, if that's, like, the only thing you're shoving down my throat, like, I'm not going to fall for that. Mm. Whereas if you don't have a plan, you might be like, well, that sounds pretty good. That would solve a lot of issues, like, for next month, right? So, I just think it sharpens your focus. And you put those goals on the board. Maybe someone else comes to you with kind of a silly idea. You can just point back up to like, oh man, it's like, doesn't really fit into that goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, another aspect of planning to think about and something that I think has been pretty helpful. Raf and I, we read a book, Dan Kennedy's Time Management for Entrepreneurs or something.
Yeah.
One of the things he gets you to do is he gets you to break down almost like the rate you want to earn per hour roughly, which you could tie back to your number that you set at the start, the goal, how much money you want to put into your pocket at the end of the year, and calculate what that is based off how many hours you want to work. Now, one thing I would consider as well, so say you look at your role, you're like, cool, I'm in charge of website, social media, marketing, sales, and coaching. Now, the hours that go into those things in a week multiplied out by the whole year, divided by whatever that number is, you might find your hourly rate is like $12 an hour, right? So one thing that I would work on is really plan out realistically, based off experience and I guess based off the most accurate prediction you can make, how these things need to break down as hours in your week. If you're coaching a 25-hour week and you've got all these other tasks to do, let's be realistic here. You're probably not going to have time to put what you need to or the hours you need to into those activities to grow the business. So you need to look and be like, okay, do I just really love coaching? I'm happy to coach here and earn less. Or do I need to go, shit, okay, in March, I need to be down to 5 hours coaching and I need to be hiring someone. So you know somewhere, but you need to know in Feb, maybe in end of Jan, you need to start looking for a hire. You know, these are things that if you just put it as black and white as numbers, you see, because in your head, you're just like, yeah, I'll just do it all. I'll figure it out. It doesn't play out in reality. So you need to actually calculate the hours of what you think is realistic and what needs to happen.
Yeah, and this happens when you work back, right? Okay, you need this many new clients. Like, fuck, I'm going to have to spend this much time like doing the marketing, doing this stuff to actually get them. All right, how many times am I actually going to work in a week? All right, then you can start to look, you know, at the activities. And whatever that might be the lowest hanging fruit for you, like it might, I think for some gyms, it could be like getting cleaning help just because they're lower paid staff. So Just when you do that activity, you can trade it to get somebody else to do this for the lowest amount of money, right? And then might be training sessions or something like that after. It might not. Might be something else in your admin. But picking off those lowest hanging fruit is going to go really well in your planning throughout the year. And hopefully in your planning, you're putting in I'm doing these tasks now, and then by halfway through the year, I'm not doing those tasks. I'm taking on these tasks. Mm. Like, you can put your working week into your planning as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think if you've decided there are certain things, like 5 hours of social media a week, then content creation, that's important, and you don't have that capacity, well, you need to find someone that does. Yeah. And if you don't have the money, then you need to be creative. Okay, maybe I can offer it for a membership. Maybe there's like some young uni student out there who's studying marketing or design or whatever, and it's like they want to train at a gym. Hey, I can give you $50 a week and, a free gym membership worth $80 a week if you do like 3-4 hours of social media for me, You got to get creative with these things. That's part of hustling and getting into business. Yeah, 100%. And obviously, that's for more of a startup business, but yeah, for more established businesses, same rules still apply. Okay, well, that's most of the stuff I wanted to cover in terms of planning. Did you want to add any final stuff for planning?
No, I just really think, I know January can start to get away from you because hopefully you're getting really busy as a fitness business, but you still really want to take the time to just get some planning and goal setting out in the year. Otherwise, you get 3 months into it, you're mad. I didn't hire someone when I needed it.
Mm.
And you will be astonished by how much that can derail you in a year if you don't put the forward thinking into it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And time gets away from you faster than you thought.
It's going to be August again, and you'll be thinking about next year.
Man, locker room felt so far away, and now it's 3 weeks away. Mm. So time definitely need to always take that time for reflection and planning, even on a weekly basis, I feel. I even do daily reflections, because you just want to make sure that you're staying on track. So, guys, use that advice. Support our, get support with this stuff, just like you can with business coaches. If you feel like it's too much to get after yourself, if you've been listening to these podcasts for a while and yet you feel like you just can't get the implementation right, you're like, yes, I agree, I need these things. And then when it comes to sitting down and getting it done, you just don't do it. You get wrapped up in other things. You need accountability. You need mentors. You need people that... You need a boss, basically. Someone that's like, hey, you need to get this done for me. I want to see it done next week. We thrive on that. We thrive on that pressure. So you can pay for that pressure. Yeah, MPE. So themamasproject.com/MPE. And then, of course, True Coach as well. If you guys want the best coaching software for one-on-one individualized programming and coaching, themamasproject.com/True Coach. Guys, thanks so much. And we'll speak to you next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.